Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday afternoon. Everybody's having a good day to this point. Don't forget to tune in this weekend, as we've been talking about. Yeah, the NFL season actually kicks off tomorrow night. Chiefs hosting the Texans. But on Sunday, we'll have our game of the week. It'll be Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, two future first ballot Hall of Famers, as the Bucs and the Saints play each other at 3 p.m. on Sunday, and that will be on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So check that out. 3 o'clock on Sunday, Bucs and Saints, Tom Brady versus Drew Brees, our NFL Game of the Week right here on 102.5 The Game, and that's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We just got word during break that Timmy has to push back for about 10 more minutes, so we'll probably catch up with him about 12:15. I don't know if there were some TV duties or he got sad that Chase had to step away from the show. He had to handle some stuff, the homestead. So I don't know what's going on, but we'll talk to Tim at about 12:15. We said at the beginning of the show, Willie, that there's some interesting news surrounding Justin Timberlake and a certain baseball team here in our market.
Right, and there's a big story in the Tennessean about it. Justin Timberlake has become the latest in a who's who list of investors for the Nashville Stars, the group that wants to bring Major League Baseball to Nashville someday. It falls right into line with all of these things that have transpired over the last, I don't know, 18 months or so, maybe a little longer, when this group started to get formed. They hit you with a lot of names. And so this is maybe the biggest name that they've added, right? Justin Timberlake. That's huge. And he has released a statement: "I'm thrilled to be involved in the movement to bring Major League Baseball to the great state of Tennessee. I believe in Music City Baseball's vision of linking baseball and music in a unique way to unite and entertain people. I'm excited to help generate awareness throughout the community as we share our vision to bring in Major League Baseball to Music City." I was not aware of this. I guess there are some other Music City Industry Advisors Committee, or members of this music industry group that is in this deal. Kix Brooks, Kane Brown, Eric Church, Luke Combs, Larry Gatlin, and others. So they're getting people on board. And that hasn't been the problem, right, Darren? The real question still remains, and this doesn't change anything, is give me the details of what the plan is. You know?
Sure.
It's a great vision. The vision is there. We all have the vision. We can see the vision. But what's the plan? And how do you start? They're still at square one when it comes down to the practicality of starting the process of building a ballpark. And, you know, who's talking to Major League Baseball? What's the expansion situation? What's going on in Tampa? What's going on in Oakland with their ballparks? There's still so much to figure out.
I've got a vision, Willie. By the way, they're doing it the right way. Their vision is a retractable roof. That is the correct vision by this group, to build a retractable roof for a Major League Baseball team in this market. That is the way to go. How about Justin Timberlake when that beautiful facility is built there right on the waterfront, right next to Nissan Stadium, that Justin Timberlake does a sold-out show in that retractable roof stadium? How about that? That's the kickoff to that stadium.
Hey, if he's part owner of the team, that would help. I would have to say that would get some people going. I mean, that is an A-list guy. I mean, with all
the
respect,
baseball people they have are already A-list.
A-list baseball guys. Now they have A-list baseball guys. Now they have A-list celebrity to go with it.
Yep. I just told you that we'll be airing the Bucks and the Saints on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. That'll be our NFL Game of the Week, and that is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Our next guest is also brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Tim Hasselbeck on the line with us. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Did you hear the news that Justin Timberlake is going to be a part of the baseball group to get Major League Baseball to Nashville?
You think he would do that without telling me? Of course
I know, I know. You've been sitting on that. You were going to break it on the show, but the news got out early. I know.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't want to jump the gun on him a little bit, but I'm pretty sure, you know, I know what song he's going to open with at the new stadium.
Oh, you think he opens with that, or that's encore stuff?
Oh, no, I mean, I think he opens with it.
I agree.
You know,
because he says, "Are you ready?" You know, and everybody's going to scream, "Yes, of course we're ready." So the clowny story is finally over. Yes, there's another thing that has landed in Nashville. He's finally here. What do you make of the clowny deal, and what kind of impact in your mind do you think he can have on the Titans for the season? But more importantly, what kind of impact do you think he can have Monday night in Denver against the Broncos?
I think he can have I think he's an impact player right away. I think familiarity with the defense, obviously it's been alluded to, you know, the relationship with Vrabel, having been around each other, the expectations. It's been in the league long enough that at that position, you know, assuming that he's, you know, been in shape, which, you know, I would have to think is the case, I think there could be an immediate impact. And look, I said it to you guys before. He is a really disruptive player in the run game, in the passing game. He's just such an absolute, you know, freak physically that he's a hard matchup. He's a hard matchup for tackles that aren't as athletic. He's a hard matchup for, you know, tight ends that are trying to get involved with him that aren't as, you know, big enough and strong enough. And so he can be a game wrecker still. And I think that, you know, the low sack total from a year ago probably prevented him from getting the type of deal that he maybe was originally looking for. But I think it's an awesome signing for the Titans. And I think people will be happy with his production.
Last year he got same deal right before the season was starting. He goes to Seattle, their first game. Because we were trying to figure out, like, what's the right number of snaps for him? And Willie kind of threw out maybe 20, 25. I said, I would lean toward 30. Then we look up his snap count in their first game against the Bengals last year. He'd been there just over a week, and he was involved in 46 snaps. So what do you think is the right number? And certainly he's got, as you mentioned, more familiarity with this system than he did in Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't, again, assuming he's been in shape, and I think that that's the only question. I don't know how he spends his off season. There are certain players you just know, I mean, sometimes you can tell by looking at them, but, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, how a guy operates, you know, how he takes care of his body, how he trains. There are some players that, like, they needed to be in the team's facility for them to work out and, you know, get ready for a team season. And then there are other guys that they were fine at home. They had a great setup at, you know, wherever they spend their off season, and there was a group of people that maybe they would train with, so there was some competitive nature to how they did that. And so, look, I would say if he played nearly 50 snaps a year ago in a defense that he, you know, wasn't necessarily familiar with going in, I don't know that you need to have a, you know, a snap count on somebody like him. I don't. Now, you may want to kind of pick and choose your spots with him, just because in any scenario, week one, you know, guys do end up getting tired, especially with no preseason. And so it just may be something where, look, we want a healthy rotation, period. You know, we typically don't want to have a rotation on our offensive line, but we're going to do it just because this is a unique environment that we're in.
Tough break for the Broncos. The news yesterday after we were off the air concerning their Tuesday practice, now it's come out that Von Miller is more than likely lost for the season. You know, whether that happens or not, either way, it doesn't matter. He is not going to be a part of this game Monday night against the Titans. Well, we know how vitally important. I mean, he is the best player on that roster. How does Denver try to go about trying to, you know, get past Von Miller not in the lineup? And how is that going to affect this game?
That's brutal. It's a total game changer for them. He's their best defensive player. And, you know, he's, you know, probably the best defensive player, followed by Bradley Chubb, you know, the former first-round draft pick from NC State, who plays opposite him, who, by the way, is coming off of a major knee injury. So, yeah, this is really bad for the Broncos, just because, like, this position that really was a position of strength, these edge players, you know, they had an opportunity between the two of them to be, you know, really as good as any, you know, any two combined on a team. And, you know, and now one of them, I'm not sure exactly what his return is going to look like. You hope that, you know, just for his health situation, then, you know, you probably don't need to be, you know, racing Bradley Chubb back any faster than you would otherwise. But, yeah, that's the situation you're in. And pass rushers is a reason that they're the second highest or, you know, kind of valued position outside of quarterback is, look, they're game changers. And Von Miller certainly was that. So that's a huge loss for Denver. And obviously, you know, in some ways an advantage for, you know, the Titans in that, you know, they don't really have a ton of time to plan life without him, you know, before facing them.
We had, our draft this past weekend, Tim. Our draft was this past weekend.
So selfless of you.
Our group. Yeah, our group, our family. We 12 team league. And we were just talking a little fantasy. We did a little preview. We had a Denver preview yesterday. Went out to Denver, which, by the way, he told us that, hey, it was 93 degrees the day before. It was going to snow yesterday. And then today we just went to Baltimore. And talking about the Ravens situation, I bring this up because we were talking a little fantasy, and I want to know how you approach this, because we were discussing, you know, it's now, there's a lot of two-headed backs, right? There's, you know, you've got the Titans, we'll see, Melvin Gordon and Lindsay in the backfield. In the division in Indianapolis, they've got Marlon Mack, but now they've drafted Jonathan Taylor. In Baltimore, they've got the Mark Ingram that we know everything about, but then they've got J.K. Dobbins. How do you go when everybody's got these high expectations for Taylor and Dobbins, but they're the unknown, right? You don't really know what they're going to bring to the table. The other guy's proven. How do you approach that for fantasy purposes? And who's really going to see the ball the most?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny that somebody was asking my brother, you know, and obviously, you know, his last team was the Colts and knows a lot of those guys really well. And, you know, he mentioned Jonathan Taylor. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, that's interesting because I think Marlon Mack is a really, really good runner. And if you're going to supplant him, then you better be really good. And so I've always kind of erred on the side of, hey, this is the guy I've seen do it before. His production is kind of, you know, is unquestionable. Like, I've seen him do it in the NFL. And so I've always typically favored those guys. Now, you know, in doing that, you know, you're going to miss out on Miles Sanders, which, you know, you don't want to do, you know, because you were, you know, focused on Jordan Howard or LeGarrette Blount at that point. So, you know, I don't know that I've always had the right, you know, the right philosophy on it, and I'm probably changing a little bit. But, you know, what I typically do is I look for scenarios where I'm like, you know what, everything is telling me, like, yeah, the other guy maybe is a little bit better, but this guy's been hurt. Or, look, they have a good offensive line. They want to run the football. I think this guy, you know, has a chance to, you know, yeah, we're calling it like a 50-50 split now, but really I think it's going to be his job at some point. You know, I really just try to look for guys where I'm like, you know what, he can win, like he'll win the job. So take the Denver situation. Like Melvin Gordon, you know, basically was run out of town by Austin Ekeler. Austin Ekeler is a good back. Like, so for me, that's a split backfield in Denver, but give me Philip Lindsay all day long. That's how I would look at that.
Really? Okay.
Jason and I are very glad to hear that answer, because we have Lindsey.
They took him over Gordon,
Well, I mean, he's younger. You know, his injury history is a wrist, you know, not a knee or an ankle. Gordon's, you know, had lower body, you know, injuries. You know, and again, you know, the team that drafted him as a first rounder turned to an undrafted guy rather than keep him. So, you know, I'm like those are the cues that I would take.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN, talking a little football as we do every Wednesday at noon with him. So, Tim, big investment, not unexpected, by the Rams and Nashvillean Jalen Ramsey. We knew last year was a big saga that when they gave up so much, they had to invest here. But where does it put the Rams right now in terms of their salary cap? They've got a lot of money in a lot of star players, and they've got a lot of dead money. So that doesn't give you a whole lot of wiggle room with depth, it seems like.
No, and so what it means is, you know, you have to beat the market other ways. So you better beat the market with the draft. You know, you may have to take a chance on an older player or an injured player, because, you know, you're right. When you look at, you know, the money and where it's at. So Aaron Donald, obviously in a big, big way. Ramsey, you know, invested in him in a big, big way. Brockers has got a good deal. Jared Goff, obviously, you know, is kind of top of the market. And so when you do that, like, you got to be better other places. Now, obviously, you mentioned dead money, like the Gurley situation, you know, that's moved on. Well, if they get it right with Cam Akers, then they're in a good spot. You know, if, you know, Leonard Floyd, who was a disappointment in Chicago, if he plays like a first rounder, then the beating the market, you know. So I think you just kind of have to look at those situations when you do that, when you take this philosophy of, okay, you know, here's a guy, we're going to reset the cornerback market with him, but, you know, a day or two after Tre'Davious White, you know, resets the cornerback market, then you better beat the market elsewhere.
We're going to be watching Houston and seeing what they've got in Kansas City on Thursday. Of course, Titans fans, we knew they were going to invest in Deshaun Watson. Big star for them. But what do they have around him? What do you think they've done to give themselves a chance to have him be the quarterback that they need him to be now that they've got that money behind him?
Yeah, they're an interesting team to me. I feel like this is the year where we're really going to find out, you know, how good Deshaun Watson is. Like, we all know he's good. We've seen the amazing plays, the, you know, kind of the SportsCenter highlight type plays. But, you know, he also had been playing with, you know, one of the best receivers in the game. Now he's got a receiving group that's good, but, you know, guys that have different skill sets and also have, you know, limitations. Like, Brandon Cooks has a ton of speed, but doesn't, you know, always catch the ball, you know, like, certainly not like Hopkins. Will Fuller's been in and out of the lineup, and so Kenny Stills may be a guy that you got to rely on. And Randall Cobb has started to bounce around, and he's not the same player he was earlier in his career. And David Johnson basically was traded to just offload a contract. So, you know, I think when you look at, you know, Houston, we're going to see the value of Deshaun Watson. You know, does he elevate everybody's play around him? Like, is he that good that he's that type of player, or has he, you know, has he been a guy that's been inconsistent but been paired with one of the best receivers in the game, and so it's kind of, you know, it kind of made him appear to be, you know, a certain way that maybe he wasn't exactly, you know, that type of player. So I think that Houston is fascinating because, yes, they have good wide receivers. Like, they didn't trade Hopkins and just have a totally bare cupboard. That's not the situation in Houston. But does the quarterback make those guys better? I think that ends up being the question.
The question was asked of Mike Vrabel today about, you know, in general terms, can the offense be as good as it was last year when it was clicking on all cylinders for a long time? They were red hot, for sure. And one example that he brought up was red zone. We marveled last year. I still would like to know if it's a record for most consecutive games without even having to attempt a field goal. And part of the reason was they just cashed in for touchdowns every time. But as you know, Tim, it's hard to replicate that every year. You were talking about last year, the Patriots are one of the rare exceptions of, it seems like every year they're good in red zone offense, red zone defense. So what's the right expectation level for the Titans this year, particularly in the red zone?
Well, I don't know that you can expect them to all season long be the way they were. I mean, you termed it red hot. I mean, you're right. And, you know, look, those are the differences in wins and losses, you know, with that being the case. You know, it's a little bit like turnovers. You know, when a defense, I remember Jacksonville a few years ago. I mean, I think they defensively were scoring more than their offense. And, you know, the following year, they still had a bunch of good players, but replicating those types of turnovers, it just, you know, there's some good fortune associated with it. So whether it's, you know, you happen to call, you know, a blitz beater and in fact you do get the blitz that you were looking for. You know, sometimes it's just as simple as that in distinguishing between whether or not it's a field goal, you know, or a touchdown or an incompletion and or a sack that knocks you out of field goal range. So, I think that expectations across the board should be, we're going to be better on offense than we were a year ago. Were we really good and were we clicking? Yes. But basically, we're back and we have young players that should even be better, that we've learned more about, that are more comfortable in our system. So, look, I think that needs to be the approach. It doesn't mean you won't hit some adversity during the year, but I think that is how everyone should feel that. I think it's how the fans should feel about it. I think it's coaches, players. I think it's how they should, you know, approach coming into the season offensively.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, in the wake of the Clowney signing, it seemed to come with the predictions of the season right on the heels of that. And all those power rankings and things that I see the Titans, generally speaking, between around 11 and 17, which I think some people around here are saying, wow, I feel like the expectations are higher here. I think they can be better. But, you know, when you really put it in context, there's a lot of teams that could end up, if they hit it right, being really good. Do you think that's about accurate, or do you think they're a top 10 team?
I think they're probably a top 10 team. I picked them to win the division prior to the Clown signing. Here's what I think happens, and it's kind of a lesson that I feel like I've learned, you know, for kind of having my role for over a decade, is that I naturally am an offensive guy. When I, you know, watch a game, I don't care if it's high school football, I'm intrigued by creative things that an offense does or a really good offensive player. Like, that grabs my attention before something defensively does. And so I think that we just naturally favor, as you know, guys in my position, even if you played on defense, people just they favor offense. They talk about offense. And I think one of the interesting things about the Titans is that, you know, not that they're loaded with, you know, a bunch of household names on the defensive side of the ball, but I think it's a really good defense. I think it's hard to gain yards against them. I think it's hard. I think they have a hard scheme to play against. I think their players are well coached. I think when they get their hands on you, they tackle you. Like that, watching them a year ago, that's how I felt about them. And so I think that just gets overlooked some. I think people favor offense way more in these predictions than they favor defense, and it's probably the wrong way to go about it. So, yeah, I think they're probably a little bit underrated. I think teams that have good offenses and defenses that maybe aren't as strong, I think they probably are overrated, and usually that sifts itself out throughout the season.
All right, yes, no answers on the way out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's start with the Patriots win the division this year.
Yes.
Wow, okay. The Texans miss the playoffs this year.
Yes.
the Steelers make the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Lamar Jackson wins the league MVP again this year?
No.
Okay, I'm trying to think of something now in the NFC.
You mean you didn't write these questions out in
advance,
Darren?
No, I'm just doing this off the top of my head.
I thought this was like awesome show, Pat. The timing of the first four were like awesome.
Hey, the season's about to start, man. Can we get some show prep? Can we do that?
I thought that was pretty good off the top of my head.
I mean, you had me fooled. You had me fooled for a while there, but yeah, I didn't know you were just riffing off the top of your head.
Okay, the Bucks win their division.
No. But they are a playoff team.
Okay, that's where I was going next.
There is an extra playoff team this year. Yep, and there is an extra playoff. Here's one for you. My dark horse MVP.
Okay.
Is in the NFC, and it's Kyler Murray.
Oh, Willie, did you hear that?
Oh, you are really wetting Darren's appetite there. Because he went on DeSean Hopkins and Kyler Murray.
I got Hopkins and Murray in my draft.
This is like the rundown and the tone of this show is just so different, you know, when it's recently after a fantasy draft.
Oh,
like,
no
tone
question.
The tone of it is so different. You know, players that you literally did not care about one bit yesterday afternoon. Now, all of a sudden, you are invested. You care more about than some of your family members.
100%.
So when somebody brings them up, it's now like, oh, really?
Oh, did you say something about my quarterback?
That guy. Hey, you know who drafted that? Hey, this guy drafted him. Uh-huh. Now, meanwhile, 3 weeks from now, you're going to be cutting him, complaining about how bad he stinks, what a wimp he is, that he can't play through a torn labrum. Okay?
All right, let's go. Well, just to let you know, we may be influenced by the people we talk to on the show. A couple weeks ago, we had Sean Salisbury on, and he was just gushing. I thought he was trying to adopt Kyler Murray. Just gushing about Kyler Murray. This was weeks ago. And so I noted that. You came on here a couple weeks ago after Chase just had this big old love fest for Teddy Bridgewater, and you just kind of poo-pooed it. And, of course, guess who didn't take Teddy B? Chase. Didn't take any Bridgewater picks. I think you talked him out of it. And he's been kind of quiet on Teddy B since that appearance.
Well, I would just say this. If Chase would have drafted Teddy Bridgewater in a 12-team league, our friendship would have been on the rocks, okay? Just would have been unstable at that point.
Oh, I hope you're right about Kyler Murray, because that's who I took as my first quarterback. So I hope you're right. By the way, there was a mad dash for quarterbacks this year. It was kind of weird. Like, it kind of forced me. I thought I could get him later, but I was like, if I don't do it now, the way everybody's aggressively taking quarterbacks – then I'm not going to get him. So I went on and jumped in there.
Here's an interesting one. It's probably not a bad philosophy, and this came from a coach. So I'm calling UAB versus Miami tomorrow night.
Okay.
And I was talking to Bill Clark, the UAB coach, and he played two quarterbacks last week against Central Arkansas. And just was asking him about his quarterback rotation, and he kind of talked about the uniqueness of this year. He really thought it was going to be important to play more than one guy, because who knows, like, you could be without your starting quarterback for 2 weeks. You know, he could be an asymptomatic, you know, positive COVID test, and you need a new quarterback for 2 weeks. And so from a fantasy football perspective, I think you can apply that same philosophy of, you know, typically everyone saying, hey, wait on quarterbacks and fantasy drafts. But look, you know, and Cam Newton's going to be great, but look, he might be on the shelf for a couple of weeks, you know, because of a positive COVID test. And if that's the case, you know, you don't want to be scrambling for someone like Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, I'll tell you what, that Bill Clark guy, he has done a heck of a job at UAB. I can't imagine that he's going to be there long. Somebody big is going to hire him. I think I don't know anything about him, but I just know since they've come, that guy has just gotten it done at a very hard place to win.
Well, I will say this. Coming into it, doing some research, I didn't know a ton about the program. Obviously, they are not far from here. He was the coach the year prior to the shutdown.
Correct.
They shut down for two
yes.
years. He remains the head coach. They start playing football again. I guess it would have been in 17, and they won 8 games.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are programs that can't, you know, find ways to get to a winning season. And, I've been really impressed learning about, you know, the things that I've learned about from that program. And, you mentioned it being kind of a hard place to win. You know, obviously you have two powerhouse programs in your state, and so you have to do well with some of the players that fall through the cracks in your state, but you have to recruit other areas well, Tennessee being one of those states you have to recruit well. And I think that they, in many ways, have done that. So, I've been impressed with what I've learned from that program.
Well, enjoy the game. We'll be paying close attention to it, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for doing this.
Wait a second! Don't lie to me. You just lied to me.
Well, no, is it on? I don't. Is it? I'm assuming.
Wait a second! No. You said if you're telling me you're gonna,
then you should have already planned. You should already know the channel. If you've been playing and watching, you know the channel.
Well, like I can't be talked into it after I just told you things happen because of the show. Like we make up our minds sometimes because of the show. You talked me into the game. It wasn't on my schedule.
If you're not choosing UAB Miami over Houston, Kansas City, then we're no longer friends.
Well, I can multitask. I can do both. And now that you've said you're being a part of it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to check it out. Cause that's how we roll on this show.
I appreciate that.
Is it on the Deuce? What is it on? ESPN, the Deuce? What's it on? News?
It's on ACC Network.
Okay. It's on ACC Network. Okay. I got that, too.
We got that.
You can probably stream it on ESPN Plus. I should know that.
So you
I
can
gotcha.
You could go double screen. That's what we'll do. That's the solution.
There you go. See, things
hey,
happen
football
here.
Is back, baby. Football is back.
Drink it through the fire hose.
That's right.
Hey, take it while you got it. We don't know what's going to happen.
That's right.
1 week at a time, literally. All right. Thank you, Tim.
See you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck every Wednesday at noon. It is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Wow, that was good stuff. And UAB Miami tomorrow night. I did not know that he was going to be a part of that, so glad he put that out there. That's right. We will have Texans and Chiefs, but also that game as well. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.